Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 24th of November, 2022. From Manx Radio, 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the Isle of Man. Background to that news and sport and business and sea watch and travel updates. And the newsmakers are present tonight. Heathrow flights from beyond 25th of March next year. Yes or no? Only wild birds are getting bird flu so far. Will Peel's East Quay regeneration happen? The latest on the residential 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. And a look at that new TT film.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
But first of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fast am I, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fast am I. Another amber weather warning has been issued for this evening. Forecasters are warning that large waves will lead to significant coastal overtopping in exposed coastal areas. Treasury is being urged to reconsider a funding request to implement 20 miles per hour speed limits in residential areas. The DOI had put a bid in for £2.9 million after Timwald unanimously backed the plan in 2020. However, Treasury Minister Alex Allenson has confirmed the money isn't available. The Isle of Man has been featured in an article in the New York Times. It focuses on the Manx language revival here on the island. Further afield, Labour is demanding details are released about government contracts during the COVID pandemic. Reports suggest the Tory peer, Michelle Mohn, received £29 million from a PPE firm which she recommended. She's previously denied any wrongdoing. The Transport Secretary says there's been a positive start to talks with the RMT union to try and prevent rail strikes in December and January. And FIFA say rainbow-coloured flags and hats will now be allowed into World Cup stadiums in Qatar. A number of Wales supporters were forced to discard their headwear before the opening match against the USA. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. Still got that strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea, moderate or rough. And remember, to yellow warning for inner harbour flooding tonight and an amber for coastal overtopping. Rain this evening on a strong southwesterly. It will dry up before midnight, then dry and clear with a strong westerly. Overnight minimum is 8. For Friday, Johannia dry with sunny spells, strong, then fresh west-southwesterly. Daytime maximum 11, down to 8 through the night. For Saturday, intermittent showers on a strong to gale force southerly, top temperature 13. Low water is in about 5 minutes time. High water tonight is at 22 minutes to midnight. Low water tomorrow morning a minute past 6. Sunrise at 4 minutes past 8, and the Friday morning high water is at 10 to midday.
If you have failed glazing units, speak to the team at Manx Glass and Glazing. Call 674 573.
Discussions over the future of the Heathrow flight route to and from the Isle of Man should be concluded very soon, according to the Infrastructure Minister. Chris Thomas, MHK, denied there are arguments happening between his department and Loganair during this week's House of Keys sitting. Well, you can't book flights on the route past the 25th of March next year on the route which has previously been underwritten by the government.
Basically, we're in a space where we're trying to work out how we make sure we have the services that the Isle of Man needs into the northwest and into the south of England, which are very, very important lifeline routes for the island. And we're working through that plan. And I can absolutely assure this Honourable Court and the wider public and Loganair and EasyJet and Emerald and all our other important partners who fly airlines into the Isle of Man that what we want to do is to keep this argument professional, to get to the end of any discussions that are going on as soon as possible. And I can genuinely tell you that airlines will say, like energy companies say, like banks say, it's pretty unhelpful to be making operational decisions on the floor of your House of Keys and in your Honourable Court. And this is a serious matter. We need air services. We need the airport to be welcoming air services. We all need that. The economic and social future of our island depends on it. It's one of the worst things that's about living in the island. And I'm absolutely certain we want to make sure that Loganair, EasyJet, Emerald and all the other airlines who currently service us and those in the future who might service us are in a much clearer position. as soon as possible.
Is the Minister confident that Logan Air will still be serving the Isle of Man in the next 12, 24 and 36 months?
Obviously, listening is a very valuable skill as well as talking. And what I said is that there's a contract in place that's public until the end of October. Basically, Logan Air is welcome on the island and is still flying. And I'm absolutely sure that depending on what happens next to its discussions and negotiations, could be part of the future of the Isle of Man. I mean, Logan Air is up for sale.
All cases of avian flu recorded on the Isle of Man during the current outbreak have occurred in wild birds. The government chief vet has told Max Radio that while a significant risk remains for kept birds, none has been affected by the virus so far. Cases of avian flu in the UK continue to rise steadily, with London's swan population the latest to be affected. And Dr. Amy Beckett says the outbreak shows no sign of abating.
So far, luckily over here, we haven't had any cases in kept birds this winter, which is excellent news. We have had a number of positive samples in wild birds, particularly wild geese in the north of the island, and we do believe it's still circulating in the wild bird population. This is obviously a concern, and a big concern about the amount of cases that are in the UK.
I suppose for poultry farmers on the Isle of Man, they're walking a bit of a tightrope, really. It must be quite frightening.
Yes, I mean, it's a frightening time, I think, for all bird keepers, and obviously particularly poultry producers, where their livelihood may depend on the production as well. As I said, and you pointed out, there have been a precedently high number of cases in the UK, and we do know we've got it in the wild bird population over here. The advice at the moment, from the department, is for bird keepers to do everything they can to improve their biosecurity and protect their birds, from wild birds. There aren't currently any restrictions in place on the island, but we are, strongly advising people to do everything they can to protect their own birds.
What is the general lifespan of a virus like this historically? Do we expect it to peak and then disappear within a certain period of time? It seems to have been going for some while, this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's difficult to predict, but I don't believe it's going to go away very quickly because of the fact that it's now circulating in wild bird populations. Previously, it's been more associated with migratory birds, but certainly in the UK, they've continued to have a large number of cases over the summer months, and we've detected it on island in wild bird populations over the summer as well.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
The Department of Health and Social Care is looking for appropriate adult volunteers. Sam McCauley, the Deputy Chief Exec of the Department of Home Affairs, was on Manx Radio talking about what being an appropriate adult is.
This is actually a voluntary scheme, which is hugely important for the constabulary, but has to be independent of them, which is why DHSC is leading the call for volunteers. And these volunteers actually support and act as appropriate adults. So that's for young people and for vulnerable adults, including those who have mental health issues or learning difficulties. And they support those vulnerable children and adults through both the police and the courts process. So it's a really vital role, and we just wanted to put out that obviously DHSC are looking for volunteers there, and we're hopeful that people will put themselves forward.
Okay, this is for young people aged between 10 and 17, vulnerable adults, including those with mental health issues and learning difficulties. And what will it actually involve the volunteers doing? How much time do they have to give up?
So it's a complete mix, really, but you do get called on out of hours because obviously those volunteers step in and assist when a vulnerable young person or adult has been arrested and they don't have a parent, guardian or support worker to help safeguard them and their rights as well. So again, it's you can commit as much time or as little time as you want, but it is a kind of out of hours call because obviously that can take place at any time.
The Isle of Man Green Party has called on the Treasury Minister to justify why his department has refused, they say, to honour a Timor resolution. In October 2020, politicians supported the idea of a 20 mile per hour default speed limit in residential areas around schools. But in October this year, year, the now Treasury Minister, Dr. Allinson MHK, confirmed his department had considered the request for additional funding and rejected it. Andrew Langer-Newton is the leader of the Isle of Man Green Party.
Dr. Allinson, Minister Allinson, I should say, MHK, his response to MLC Rob Mercer related to 20 mile per hour issues was quite short and really indicated or implied that they chose not to fund 20 mile per hour zones because they thought there were other things that were more important, which might be the cost of living crisis. But we can't say that without certainty because the detail just wasn't in the minister's response. But of course, the cost of living crisis is a priority issue for the Isle of Man, but so is saving lives on our roads. And we can't diminish that and we can't ignore that. And that has been going on for such a long period of time. There was a government document in 2016, there was a road safety strategy in 2019, there was now a Tynwald resolution in 2020, I should say a unanimous resolution. All members of Tynwald agreed that the science, the evidence, the support for 20 miles per hour zones in residential areas was so clear cut, everyone agreed. Now, that is really superb. If it could be implemented, now we're dealing with a situation where the Department of Infrastructure Minister and the Treasury Minister have indicated in Hansard that it's going to be delayed until 2024. That's just not acceptable and arguably will save money, as the Green Party sets out, because it will save the cost of healthcare amongst many other things.
The DOI requested £2.9 million, which is the estimated cost to fund the 20 mile per hour zones. Why do you think now is the right time to invest that money into signs?
I just don't think we can delay any further while people are risking their lives in the Isle of Man on the road. Also, the evidence points to it being an economic saving, not only the healthcare saving, but also carbon emissions, reduction in carbon emissions. There's clear evidence that shows that driving more efficiently reduces emissions, not only carbon dioxide, but also other particulates that damage health for people who live in that immediate environment.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Well, this morning's Ben McCree didn't go because of the weather, consequently no return voyage. So departure this evening is on time at 7:45. Ben McCree heading for Heysham, getting there at about 11:30. Overnight departure 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. And the morning departure tomorrow morning looks okay. 8:45, Ben McCree for Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A new feature film capturing the TT Racers has been released after a star-studded premiere event at the Villa Marina in Douglas last night. There with his best bib and tucker, Rob Pritchard.
Tourist Trophy, which takes an in-depth look at the 2022 TT Racers, was unveiled to racers and fans alike on Wednesday evening. One of those attending the premiere was rider Davy Todd, who thinks the movie does well in capturing what spectators may not otherwise see.
What goes on in the pits, but also what goes on in the riders' minds and mindsets and everything else with the families and friends. And I think it's definitely a big part that people don't see, that hopefully now they get to get a look at and help people understand it a little bit more. And I think even though it gives that insight, sometimes good, sometimes bad, I think it'll make people love the TT even more for that, you know.
And the fact that it is a feature film, we've seen the live streaming coming in this year. How much can a film like this go towards maybe getting more people interested in watching the TT and watching bike racing in general?
I definitely think it'll get people more interested in the TT, giving them an inside look. We've seen what the likes of the Formula One documentary on Netflix has done for F1 and the fans of that. It's definitely increased the viewers, and I think this will do the same thing for the TT.
One of the competitors focused on in the feature is Michael Russell, who thinks the film and new digital content this year will help bring the races to more fans for the future.
You know, you sit on the hedge line and you see a bike flash past at stupid speeds, fantastic, and you know, you get that air. Everything about it is just mind-boggling. I've done it once. Not a massive fan of sitting behind this on the hedge. Sorry, I like to prefer to be behind the screen doing it. But you know, from a viewer's point of view, I think it's the film encapsulates it. You know, I watched it on Monday and my hairs were on edge. You know, I was sort of breathless watching it in places. It was fantastic. So this TT app and all that sort of accessibility now is a way forward for the TT into the future.
Tourist Trophy is now available to watch for free exclusively on TT Plus.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 6:15 on Manx Radio, Kingfisher, the owner of B&Q and Screwfix, has said that more customers are investing to make their homes more energy efficient. B&Q sold more than double the amount of loft insulation that it did last year, and at Screwfix, sales of thermostatic radiator valves were up 33.7%. Between August and October, Kingfisher's sales totaled $3.3 billion on a like-for-like basis, fractionally up 0.2%, more than it achieved in the same period in 2021. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrookall.com. Now, the days of ordering numerous sizes and colours on the internet may be over after years of accepting free returns. Online retailers are clamping down on the practice. Bloomberg reported that exchanging and returning items without a charge has been a staple of the virtual shopping experience, giving customers the freedom to order items without trying them on. Yet returns are expensive for retailers, which have to pay for the labour of sifting through and reselling the items. The number of larger retailers, including Zara and Abercrombie & Fitch, are now charging fees for online returns. It's up from 31% to 40% this year alone. H&M, meantime, is currently testing return fees in Norway.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets remained upbeat as investors assessed the latest meeting and the minutes from the US Fed. US markets were closed for Thanksgiving. Oil fell as the G7 nations looked at a price cap on Russian oil, and gold priced higher. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 fractionally up 0.02%, 0.02%, 7,466. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.8% at 14,539. Obviously, everything's closed in America at the moment because of Thanksgiving. So the exchange markets, the British pound sterling, currently trading at $1, 21.2 cents, €1, 16.5 cents, and 20 South African rand, 62.8 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.4% at $1,756 per troy ounce, and Brent crude is up 0.6% at $84.86 a barrel.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
The Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas MHK says the department's worked with the commissioners in Peel to get the most out of the regeneration of East Quay. Despite some residents voicing concerns about parking and the possible implementation of a one-way system at a public meeting this week, Commissioner Alan Jones and Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas say some solutions have been found.
A lot of issues are I heard at the meeting were more about traffic management problems that concerns the whole of Peel rather than just that particular area. They are part of ongoing discussions we have with the DOI. The difficulties you have is we're a Victorian town and trying to fit in what everybody wants or trying to do things without destroying the ambience of the town is always difficult, and it's not designed for traffic, so that's one of the issues that you have to try and overcome.
How do you feel like it's going to improve Peel for residents, obviously because that's the main point, but also for visitors to Peel?
A wider pavement is more helpful for disabled users, for instance. Somebody who's visually impaired thanked us yesterday for thinking of people like himself. It's also helpful not to have as many vehicles parked illegally on the double yellow lines in places. It improves the ambience. It's always going to be difficult, though, balancing that objective against the fact that it's a two-way road and it's a working harbour alongside. But I think the department's gone to work with the commissioners to get the most out of the East Quay, and I really hope now that this project can come to completion, and then we can move on to to the next stage, because what we heard is that the Peel has a parking problem. It's had a parking problem for a long time, and Peel Town Commissioners can work with DOI to make sure we think through the laws and the enforcement of existing laws and perhaps future laws, and also think about even increasing the amount of parking available in Peel for proper use.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with football, and Bradham missed out on the chance to go top of the Jackson's Isle of Man under-18s league last night. They suffered their first defeat of the season, going down 3-1 against Corinthians, who move up to sixth in the table and now boast back-to-back victories. Meanwhile, Bradham remained third in the table with 9 points on the board. That's just 1 point adrift of current joint league leaders Onchan and Union Mills. The next set of fixtures in the competition are due to take place on Wednesday, the 30th of October at the Bowl. Union Mills will take on mid-table Rushden United, whilst fourth-place Laxey face second from bottom Colby. In snooker, Q-Zone Masters have retained their place at the top of the Max Builders Merchants Snooker League. In the latest round of fixtures, they managed a narrow 3-2 victory over Peel. Masters now lead the way on 20 points, but hot on their heels are three other teams. Jackson's, Q-Zone Blinders and Port St Mary Legion are also chipping away with 18 points each. Meanwhile, Daryl Hill has emerged victorious in the first Isle of Man Billiards and Snooker Association ranking event of the new campaign. He did so by beating Callum Gardner in the final, in a repeat of the last stage of the previous season's opening ranking event. The next ranking event will take place on Sunday, the 27th of November. And finally, in table tennis, the first winner of this year's Divisional Championships was confirmed last night. Barry Jenkins took the Division 3 title after overcoming Keith Harrington in the finals at the NSC on Wednesday evening. Eyes will now turn to Division 2, which will commence at the NSC on Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Division 1 fixtures will then take place on both Wednesday, the 30th of November, and Friday, the 2nd of December. Entries for the Division 1 and 2 contests have now closed.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Next inbound at Ronald's Way, the 7:30 EasyJet from London Gatwick. Then it's the 5:28 returning patient transfer, Loganair from Liverpool. And the 8:10 finally in Loganair from London City. Departing the 6 o'clock patient transfer, Loganair is showing on time. And then it's the 8 o'clock EasyJet return to Gatwick. On the road south of Ramsey, temporary lights on the coast road for between Ballure and Hibernia for manhole cover repairs. And between Ramsey and Sulby, you've got temporary lights on the TT course for patching work. In Laxey, the bottom end of Lurgy Graws closed for wall maintenance. And there are temporary lights on the old Laxey Hill junction with Lurgy Graw. Castletown, of course, still got those temporary lights on the A5 near KWC for work on the pavements. And Castle Street, one-way northbound in the centre of Castletown. In Peel, temporary closure around East Quay and the Prom, and in Regaby, a series of temporary closures on Regaby West Road for water main replacement. Union Mills, temporary lights on the main A1 road at Ballyhutchin Hill for pipe replacement. In Douglas, Newcastle Town Road, one way heading into Douglas, diversions in place. That's on till the 27th of this month, end of this week. And temporary lights on Quarterbridge Road for gas main repairs, narrow lanes and temporary pedestrian crossing on Victoria Street, and Ballacolawi Road is closed north of Port Erin for resurfacing.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with
Tree disease on the island can't be proactively managed due to budget and personnel restraints. The Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister has described ash dieback as a huge issue. It's one which Claire Barber, MHK, says will need a cash injection to fix.
Ash dieback's been a huge issue, and it's we know that there are a significant number of cases on the island. The reality is that we aren't at the minute in a position where we're able to proactively go out and manage all of that, and that is essentially comes down to budget, comes down to personnel, but there is ongoing work within the forestry's team to both manage that as best as we can at the moment, but also look at a longer term plan. But all of that would require us to go and get additional support. Some of that may be able to be supported supported, you know, through some of the initiatives that talk about tree planting as well. Because actually, if we manage the forest trees well and remove dead trees and replace them with new young trees, actually that's a positive news story. But all of that is going to take a significant piece of work when we look at the extent, not just of ash dieback, but of other tree diseases that we have, Dutch elm disease, Phytophthora ramorum. We know that there are significant challenges in this area.
What state are the plantations in? Are they healthy?
It's quite mixed. So I spent some time recently with officers. We did have a chance to go round some of the plantations to look at some of the trees and some of the tree disease. And actually, once you start to know what you're looking for, I suppose it's... I remember Charles Gard did something around architecture where he always said, just look up. And I thought that was fascinating, when you stop and look up. Same with trees. When you stop and start looking up, you start to realise where some of those challenges are. But there's no question that some of our plantations do have challenges around tree disease.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
First of all, good evening. It's 5 to 6 on Update, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man's been featured in a New York Times article focusing on the Gaeilge, the Manx language revival. Munja Vega director Phil Gorn is featured in the piece, and it says it shows the ways in which Manx is viewed as extraordinary right around the world.
Well, I think it's a fantastic thing that I think it's Megan Specia, she's called, who came over. And we were talking about this for about a year or two, and COVID had gotten in the way, and then the Queen died, and all sorts of things, Ukraine war, and all of this. But eventually, the article has come out, and it is fantastic. I mean, the Manx language outside of the island is viewed by many people as something quite extraordinary. I mean, obviously, on the island, it's got a lot of support as well, but outside, you know, people think, gosh, how has this happened? You know, this tiny little language and all these, the success that it's had, it's just amazing.
Obviously, then, this kind of encourages people as well who might see this article or have never really heard of Manx, that this is something that can happen. You know, you can bring these languages back to life in the way that we're really seeing here.
Absolutely. And some people might say, well, why is any of this important? And of course, the reason it's important is because it's our heritage, it's our culture. In fact, I'm quoted as saying words pretty much to that effect. This is who we are. The Manx language helps describe the culture of where we've come from, but also, as can be seen frequently these days, it's helping frame our sort of future culture identity as well. So it's a great thing.
That's it from Update tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher and producer Rhiann Evans. Watch out for that inner harbour flooding and coastal overtopping. Have a safe night. Back tomorrow at 5:30. W-I-N-T.